a reader named Tommy Flavin asks if there's any chance that you're going to come to Ireland soon.
We would love to. The problem is we the continent of Europe and Great Britain, those markets are very big, and there's so many places throughout Europe to play and throughout England to play that we just can't possibly hit them all. So we got to conserve our time and try to go wherever the best markets are. We haven't been to Ireland since 2000, and I remember it was a great show, so hopefully we can make it back on the next tour.
A reader who goes by the name The Reformant asks, when you're coming up with a part in an unusual time signature, how do you approach the writing?
It's all about the feel. We never try to say, hey, let's just write in as many op time signatures as possible and make it as complicated as possible. It's got to feel right. Even if we're playing in 5 or 9 or 7, I like to think that we always have something of a groove behind it and, that the riffs actually are hummable and make sense. So that's the most important thing at the end of the day.
Duncan Parsons wants to know if there's any chance of you and Bill Bruford doing something soon.
Probably not, but Bill is somebody who I absolutely love and admire, and we've done a few things together in the past. He and I did an interview together for Rhythm Magazine a few years ago and got together, and I was able to pick his brain about all of the eras he's been a part of, with progressive rock. And he and I, at a trade show maybe 10, 12 years ago, sat down behind two kits and traded and had a bit of a drum duet, which was a lot of fun and something that I treasure in my video archives. But, what can I say? He's an amazing drummer, and I would probably ruin anything that he could be playing much better on. So I'll leave that to him. I did just get a chance to cover Starless by King Crimson, which I think is one of the greatest songs ever written. I think it's just an absolute masterpiece, and I always wanted to cover it. And I just covered that with Neil Morse for the bonus disc of his upcoming album.
Interesting you say that, because Duncan also wants to know, when you're working with Neil, and I'm trying to read this question right, how do you deal with Neil's Christian beliefs?
Well, I respect them. I'm not a Christian myself, but I surely respect Neil's beliefs and direction, he's just such a positive influence on me personally. Even though I'm not a Christian, I could really feel his positive aura as a constant good influence on me when I'm around him. And I totally support his beliefs and have a lot of respect for them.
A reader named Funky Franz wants to know if there's a chance of another Liquid Tension album soon.
Probably not studio, although it would be a lot of fun, but right now there's no plans for it. But as he or she may know, we are doing some live shows next month, which will be a lot of fun, and we will be recording those, so inevitably there will probably be a live release from that.
And lastly, a reader named Mady asks a question that you probably can't really answer, but I'll ask it anyway. Who's better, John Petrucci or Paul Gilbert?
I can answer it because my answer is there is no such thing as better. It's always favorites. You always hear about that. Oh, Mike Portnoy versus Neil Peart, or this person versus that person. Music is not a contest. There's no better. It's just a matter of everybody does different things and what appeals to you. And John and Paul are both absolutely amazing guitar players, and I've been blessed to have worked with both of them so extensively through the years. And John is a great, great writing partner with me and musical creative partner with me that he and I have a very long relationship together. And then, Paul, on the other hand, is somebody who I mentioned before I have a real bond and connection with as a fan of so many great bands. And he's got that really incredible vocabulary and knowledge of music that I so enthusiastically share with him. But technically, they're both absolute monsters.
I have one last question for you, but it's one of my own. I notice in when you play the Beatles stuff, you are really heavy on the ride. Now, is that because that's the way you hear it, or that's because that's the way that you can get Ringo's splashy hi-hat?
I gotta be honest with you, I didn't give much thought to the actual drumming when I did the Beatles tribute. I just played what was just naturally embedded in my brain. If I was to sit there and analyze what I played versus what, you know, the real Ringo recordings played, I probably wasn't that accurate. To be honest, I was just caught up in the overall vibe of the whole experience. In fact, we had 2 days rehearsal for Yellow Matter Custard, and the first day rehearsal, we were barely behind our instruments. The entire, you know, first day of rehearsal was just breaking down the harmonies and the vocals and who was going to sing what. And then the second day we actually got behind our instruments and played. And the playing part was just complete second nature. It was just embedded in the core of our brains. You know, it was really, we were, the only thing that we had to really be consciously thought about was who was going to sing what, because we weren't breaking it down, you know, by, you know, it wasn't like Paul only sang George's parts and I only sang Ringo's parts. We kind of split everything up equally. So that was the only thing that really needed thinking about. Everything else just flowed naturally.
And you did some great singing, too.
It was fun. I mean, God, that was a fun experience. And to be honest, I would love to do it again. And I wouldn't be surprised if a Yellow Matter Custard reunion happens in the coming years.
Well, let's hope for it.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for spending some time with me.
My pleasure.
It's been great. And this is Joe Basso for Music Radar, the place for music makers. And I've been speaking with Mike Portnoy. Mike, again, thank you very much.
No problem, man.